That is former NFL quarterback. Actually, he was the quarterback for an 0-16 team in the NFL, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN.
Well, that's a record.
He was a quarterback.
Something right? to be proud of.
That's a win to me.
Yeah.
You play one snap, you're an NFL player.
Yes, you are. He's talking about Antonio Brown. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. 203, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and Adam Schefter had the news today. Antonio Brown and Raiders GM Mike Mayock got into a heated exchange yesterday, and the team is now planning to suspend AB. The confrontation stemmed from Brown's Instagram post yesterday when he displayed a letter from Mayock that detailed about $54,000 in fines for missing time during training camp. Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reports that Brown and Mayock yesterday were together, and he said it didn't get physical, but after a screaming match, Brown told Mayock that he would hit him in the face then punted a ball and said, "Fine me for that." I'd expect it's Antonio Brown.
And any word if he, in fact, got fined for that as well? I'd like to see
I
that.
I think he will.
Yeah, this is for the punting the football in my face when you said, fine me for that. Look, we shouldn't be surprised, I guess, with Antonio Brown. But I was really hoping for him that a new location was going to be a new AB. What did he want from Pittsburgh? He wanted more money, right? He wanted the contract. He got that with Oakland. Like, he got what he wanted. And then all of a sudden, he froze his feet. He doesn't like his helmet. And then all blank hits the fan. I don't understand what they're doing here. And if I'm understanding this correctly, and a lot of people are reporting the fact that if he starts the season suspended, there is a possibility that the Raiders can end up voiding this contract and not be on the hook for it. Now, you're certainly still on the hook for the draft picks that you gave up, and that puts you in a little bit of a hole. But I do think while Antonio Brown, you heard Dan Orlovsky off the top talking about the position of power and how that can bring out the worst in people, he does have power to a certain extent. He does have the power of, look, I'm the guy, you pay me the money, you gave up draft picks for me. You wanted me to be here. But the Raiders are not the Cowboys. They do not have aspirations of winning the Super Bowl this year. They don't believe that they're that one player away. Yes, does he make their team better? For sure he does. I don't know how much power you truly have with a team that doesn't have playoff aspirations.
Well, I do like the idea of players having some and a good amount, because I do think that in most sports, this might sound weird because we know athletes are well compensated compared relative to other jobs, relative to the job that you have, whatever it is you go do from 8 to 5 or 8 to 6 or however long, those guys do make good money.
2 to 6 or 2 to 6.
Well, it could be 2 to 6, which is a really hard work day. And I wish people would recognize that. But they don't really have power that much anyway, relative to the owners and relative to the league. So I do like the idea that every now and then a player is able to flex some kind of authority. All right. But in this particular case, I just don't, I don't really know what he's doing. And this is not the way to go about it. Again, I like the idea of being able to, if you have some authority every now and then, being able to exercise that, because the players should, by and large, get a little bit more. But he is way past where he needs to be right now. I don't get it. And I think it's a really bad look. A
couple of financial things for him. According to Schefter, there are those around the league who now believe the Raiders could suspend Brown with the idea of trying to void the $30.125 million of guaranteed money in his contract, which obviously would end his time in Oakland. And then Spotrac tweeted this today: suspending Brown for week 1 also means that his 2019 salary wouldn't guarantee as a vested veteran, which is a league-based guarantee separate from his contractual guarantee language. The Raiders would be better setting themselves up to void. All of this, in my opinion, guys, makes Mike Tomlin look great. Mike Tomlin was able to keep this stuff pretty much under wraps until the end of last year with Pittsburgh, and then Antonio exploded and didn't show up for work. I think the Steelers and Tomlin look better by the day with all of these antics of Antonio Brown.
I wish I would have actually today on the way into work tuned into some Pittsburgh radio, Because I got a feeling that they are rejoicing.
A lot of gloating probably going on.
Yeah, like, oh, man, they did the right thing. And you're right. Tomlin looks better. The Steelers look better. And I'm sure for Brown, while he's had the blips on the radar throughout with the Steelers, it was probably a slow burn near the end where maybe he wasn't this outlandish and this outspoken and crazy when it comes to his antics. But you better believe that there were some things that probably happened that could have gotten out easily. And it does not seem like Gruden has quite as tight of a ship over there with the Oakland Raiders. No. But this makes them look so bad. It makes the Raiders look awful because Gruden said, I think, when they traded for him or when they were rumored to be trading for him, that he would walk all the way to Pittsburgh to go get Antonio Brown. Like, that's how excited he was to have him. And you got him, and you don't have him.
And that desperation to have that great explosive player can come back and haunt even the best organizations. Look what happened to the Eagles when they got Terrell Owens. Everything just fell apart because he couldn't get along with the coaches. He couldn't get along with Donovan McNabb. You look at the way that other receivers, diva receivers, have acted during their careers, and that seems to be the one position. Receiver Andre Rison, when he wound up in Kansas City, ruined
when he burned his house down.
No,
that was Lisa Lopez who burned his house down.
Left eye, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thoughts and prayers, by the way.
Yeah.
She died.
Car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just happens for whatever reason with the diva wide receiver, and they can mess up a whole locker room. It's incredible.
Doesn't it generally happen, though, over a contract dispute?
Yeah,
generally. Isn't that generally what it is? This has been over some frozen feet in a helmet. He
Isn't
has
that silly?
His contract. He's making his money.
Right.
He's not trying to angle for another extension. He's not trying to go out there and say, oh, I need more money. I got to get me. You got you. Like, you got everything that you wanted, and you can't show up here. To me, there's no excuse for this one. You could say, well, he's a game changer. He's one of the best in the league. Yes, he is. He's not helping you, though. He's a horrible teammate.
I will say this one thing in his defense, but it still doesn't excuse the overall way he's acted during this this preseason and offseason. That from my understanding, and Mike Florio really detailed this pretty well a couple of weeks ago, in how when they were going through the whole helmet issue, he was not allowed to test out a new helmet, I guess, in the way that, like, Tom Brady was allowed to. And maybe the league dropped the ball in terms of really testing the helmet he was using, and they waited, and then by the time they said, okay, hey, you just need to wear a new helmet, he wasn't given any time to get used to that. So I do understand from that perspective, but it just does seem like it's always something. It has been a number of things already during this offseason and going back to last year as well. At some point, you got to go to work. At some point, you have to go and show up. And he's not doing it. And I thought you were talking about how this usually happens with receivers, Randy. I got a theory on this. I think it's because when you're talking about a premier NFL wide receiver, those guys are maybe the most physically gifted people in sports. Okay, we can have an argument about whether or not they are. I think they're right at the top. Mm-hmm. And no matter how good you are, it is still out of your hands whether or not you get the ball. Okay, and if that happens to you a lot on the field where you're wide open and you think you should have the ball and nobody's throwing it to you, you get pissed off. And then that happens time and time and time again. I think that's why you develop a diva attitude because of that, because you don't really have control necessarily over whether or not you get the football when you think you should be getting it.
And I'm not dismissing what you're saying, whether it's the athletic ability, whether it is specifically Antonio Brown, it might be the Raiders, it might have been the Steelers. It's also a distinct possibility that this is just a Central Michigan thing, because we've got a guy here at our station, it's a Central Michigan guy, and we see a whole lot of the same antics
like
and a whole lot of the same frustration on the part of his teammates.
Yeah, he won't wear the helmet that he's supposed to wear.
Is it the water?
Might be the water up in, where's Central Michigan?
What's the problem?
By the way, Anthony Stalter is that guy.
Yeah.
And he's a diva. There's no doubt about it.
Well, especially now.
That's right. He's a big-time diva now.
That's right.
Has to have his own office.
He threw my stuff on the ground. We share a desk here. And I came. My pictures of my family were overturned and stuff. We both got 4 hours.
It's terrible, man. He insists on a stockpile of Voss water in the glass bottle.
No.
Not the plastic bottle. It's got to be the glass water.
Yeah.
He wants a bowl of Skittles all red.
Yep.
Every day when you get to work, that's what he has to have.
Unbelievable. And how ironic that his school is based in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Well, it's the opposite of that.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We're just giving Anthony trouble, by the way. He's really a good guy.
Oh, no, we're not. He does require all those things.
He's the best.
Next up, Major League Baseball is all about the home run right now, and the home run could be what fixes one of baseball's biggest problems. That's next on 101 ESPN. Well, there's no doubt that chicks dig the long ball, and the long ball is prevalent in baseball in 2019. In today's MLB, if you can hit the long ball, that's a great way to start on your way to being a superstar. And when you look at the young superstars in the National League right now, it's the guys that are leading the league in home runs. Pete Alonso has made his way in New York with the all-time record for rookie home runs in the National League. Cody Bellinger having an unbelievable year with the Dodgers. Aaron Judge did so a couple of years ago with the Yankees. We're seeing it time and again that young players are hitting the long ball, and really young guys now are hitting the ball out of the park. Ronald Acuna, 2 years with the Braves. He's 20 years old and he has 36 dingers this year. Was the NL Rookie of the Year last year. And then Aristides Aquino of the Reds, 15 home runs in 34 major league games, and people know who he is already.
There's just no such thing in the game of baseball now that the guy that's like gap-to-gap speedster, that's a star. Like, that's not a thing. Because even your gap-to-gap hitters are hitting home runs right now due to the fact that that's how baseball is set up right now. The ball is flying out of the ballpark at a torrid pace. But I would say outside of all those guys that you mentioned, Randy, outside of Ronald Acuna Jr., who might end up being the best player out of the entire lot. I mean, he is a stud, and you talk about a steal of a deal, getting him for $100 million. That's going to end up being a big-time steal. The one thing really pops out to me about all of these players, and we're talking about creating superstars in the game of baseball. The thing that pops out is the markets that they're in. Because I don't believe that you can have a quote-unquote superstar in a market that isn't seen. So the National League right now, the MVP race, Cody Bellinger is the guy that people know the most, I think. Christian Yelich, because he won it last year. Yelich is in Milwaukee. Yelich, I don't think, is thought of as a superstar. He won the MVP, and I don't feel like he gets that kind of superstar love. Another guy that people don't even know who he is, and if it weren't for Bellinger and it weren't for Yelich, it would be Ketel Marte that is getting MVP play. He's second baseman, he can play all over the place, really, but for Arizona, he is putting up a monster year. He's having he was an all-star and doing his thing, but he's in Arizona, and nobody really cares, even though they're fighting for a wild card game. When you're creating a superstar, I think unless you're a special, crazy special talent, I think the market matters.
And going back to that thought process, because Atlanta, during the course of the 80s and 90s, late 70s, 80s, 90s, they were on national TV every night with the Superstation. And people still think about that, even though they haven't been on what was the station?
GN.
GN.
No, that was Chicago. That was the
Cubs. Wait, who are you talking about?
The Braves.
TNT.
Whatever.
TBS.
TBS, there you go. WTBS. Channel 17 in Atlanta. Well, they haven't been on for a long time, but we still perceive Acuna as a superstar. We still look at Freddie Freeman, Chipper Jones, those guys. Juan Soto's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. And right there with Acuna as a young superstar quality player, but because of the market that he's in and not the perceived market that Acuña is, we don't hear nearly as much about Soto as we do about Acuña.
Well, we should. Washington. The problem is, I don't know. Is it because that team has been stacked for a really long time?
Maybe he's overshadowed by the pitching?
And he was overshadowed by guys like Strasburg, for sure.
Scherzer.
What's his name? Bryce Harper, when he was there, getting overshadowed by him, obviously. So maybe that is part of it. I don't know. But I think he's similar in terms of perception, I think he's similar to Matt Chapman, who is young and who is in Oakland and is a freaking stud.
Be honest, people are driving around right now. They're like, Matt Chapman, that rings a bell. Chapman. You don't know who he is.
Right.
Third baseman. Hey,
right.
He's really good.
Yep,
both of the Matts in Oakland are really good.
Yeah, a lot of runs matted in there.
Yeah. Well, that's really nice.
It was good here with Holiday and Carpenter and Adams for a while.
Yeah. At the end of the day, though, is it going to wind up being a healthy Judge, who now has 20 home runs, Gleyber Torres, Alonso, Bellinger? Is it going to be those top two markets? And Chris Bryant, we have to throw him in there. He's still a young player. But ordinarily, market size and heritage franchises, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers, that combination is what's going to get you to be a superstar.
Yeah, I still think it does, but I do wonder if that begs a bigger question. Is MLB, is the overall thought or the strength of Major League Baseball just not what it once was? Because you could be in any market 20 years ago and be a star. People knew you and people recognized you. Just using the NFL as an example, you don't have to be in one of those big markets to be a superstar. Pat Mahomes might not be the best guy to pick since he won an MVP and all. But I mean, you could be anywhere, but it's because that league is head and shoulders above the other one. NBA is a great example of that. Like any market, they have their stars. I still believe that Major League Baseball, while a very regional sport, I don't think they do a good enough job of getting their superstars out there on a national level.
And I don't think they ever have. I mean, when you look at when Mickey Mantle was in New York and Willie Mays was in San Francisco.
Never saw any tweets about it.
No, but even then in the 60s, because it was the Yankees, Mantle got all the attention as the best player when Mays and Aaron were both doing wonderful things. And in the 70s, Reggie Jackson got all the attention as Mr. October in New York, even though there were guys that were doing great things else. Dave Winfield was a great player for the Padres, and Mike Schmidt was a great player for the Phillies, but it was Mr. October who wasn't near the player that those guys were, but the Yankees hold a special place in America's heart. And because every NFL game, in the NFL, they're going to move a winning team and an exciting player into primetime so that everybody can see it, and it's the one game that everybody focuses on every week. There isn't a single baseball game that everybody focuses on all the time. Even Sunday Night Baseball is not destination TV.
Yeah, it's tough when your team is on every night. Because you're not going to go watch somebody else. When the Cardinals are playing, who are you going to go watch besides them? Nobody. I mean, you might have a second screen up. Maybe your laptop's up because you got MLB TV or whatever. Or you gamble. Mm-hmm. It could be that. Or maybe you're watching, it's Quick Pitch, right, where they go around the league and they show games mm-hmm. throughout the night. Maybe you're watching that, but probably not. I mean, your team is on all the time, so that's what you're going to pay attention to.
When we see a guy like Verlander, who's clearly a superstar, in large part because of his wife, but there are other superstar pitchers. The Astros just got Zach Greinke. I think that we could argue Kershaw is a superstar. Can guys like Flaherty, Walker Buehler, Tyler Glasnow to a lesser extent, can pitchers still become superstars in baseball?
Yeah, they can. Even with all the home runs that are there and the long ball being prevalent and Major League Baseball wanting it. Now, I think gone are the days of guys like Greg Maddux being superstars. Yep. So to me, Dakota Hudson will have a much harder time of being a superstar than Jack Flaherty. Jack Flaherty's got the swing and miss stuff. They could punch out the entire world every time he goes out there. It doesn't mean that they can't have the same type of big league careers, but it goes back to the whole superstar aspect of it. It just goes back to baseball, right? It's home runs and it's strikeouts, so you got to be able to do one of those two things. I do believe, though, in baseball more so than anything, personality is going to have a lot to do with it, because Mike Trout should be the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in all of sports. And if you're just a sports fan, he is. Like, you know what Mike Trout is. You know what he's done. You know what the numbers look like. You know historically that he's off to one of the best starts ever that we've ever seen in this game. But he doesn't really like being on that stage. He doesn't like championing that cause. He just likes to go out and win baseball games and battle. And
hit
honestly,
dingers.
Yeah, he does like to hit dingers. Got a lot of those. Mm-hmm. And I respect that, but I feel like for baseball, man, they need some more personalities to be on the front line.
I don't think everybody wants to do it, though.
No,
you can't make them. But I agree with you. I think that would help a little bit. And I know we've talked about this a ton, but Mike Trout would come to mind mostly.
What would be the benefit
for
Mike Trout? He's making $400-something million. Dollars. He's got a couple of endorsements like he needs anymore. Like, I get it that there's no benefit for him. The only benefit would happen would be for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
That would be it.
It's Fastlane on 101 ESPN. The NFL season opens up tonight with the Bears taking on the Packers in the 100th anniversary of the National Football League, and the Cardinals wrapping up their series with the Giants. More on that as we roll on in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Heard from Kyle Long of the Chicago Bears, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, Packers coach Matt LaFleur, and the head coach of the Bears, Matt Nagy. It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Cardinal World Series champ Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. And we go now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We'll have the NFL opener tonight, Bears and Packers, here on 101 ESPN. And joining us is Jarrett Payton, WGN-TV in Chicago, son of Walter Payton. So he literally grew up with this Bears-Packers rivalry. Jarrett, thanks so much for taking some time with us. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, it's been an amazing week and the build-up towards this game on Thursday. But just to give you a heads-up about what Bear-Packer week was like in my house growing up, my dad always, during the time leading up to that game, he was very, very quiet, very focused. So, like, anytime, dinner time, lunchtime at home was always, like, everybody just staring at each other and not saying so much because he knew what this game meant to, not just to him, but also to the city of Chicago.
That's the coolest thing ever, man. And I love that. And certainly, I mean, Jarrett, as you know, that's something here that we miss, is having stuff like that, having that NFL team and being able to be a part of something like that. Now, the Bears, I mean, this is a talented team. A lot of people are having them, you know, preseason ranking, got them going far in their predictions. What do you see? What do the Bears have this year? It's another year for Trubisky. The defense is still elite. What do you think this group is?
Well, I mean, that's where I see there's a lot of room for improvement for this ball club. But, I mean, what you saw last year, I still see a lot of national, you know, news outlets, you know, not giving this team enough credit, thinking that last year was all a fluke. And it's not a fluke. Ryan Pace and this organization have put together a great-looking roster and a lot of guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They've also surrounded Mitchell Trubisky with enough weapons for him to be successful. And I think now it's really on, and I don't want to put it all on his shoulders, but in this game of football, we know that those are the guys. The quarterbacks are the guys getting the money, and a lot is put on their shoulders. And I think for Trubisky, it's just really to see this next year, second year underneath Matt Nagy, that he is a lot further along in this system and really ready to kind of grab the hold of the reins and be that guy that gets these guys in situations to be successful. And he also is a guy that can really handle all the pressure that's coming his way. So I see a football team that sees themselves as got the target on their back, but also, you know, people not giving them enough credit as well. When you start to look at just in the division, not just in the NFL, look in their own division, I don't think they get enough credit. And I think tonight's going to be a big night to see where they truly stand starting out the beginning of the season.
Jarrett, just in paying attention to everybody up there, when they talk about Mitch, I mean, you have a lot of people who think he's going to be pretty good, but there's also a lot of still don't know. When you ask somebody, what do you think of Mitch Trubisky? Is he going to be any good? And a lot of people still don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I've always had confidence in Mitch from the moment that Ryan Pace selected him. I went back, you guys, and I just didn't want to give, because, you know, being on TV and covering this team and giving my hot take everywhere that I go in this city, I just didn't want to be like, oh, yeah, he's okay. So I went through every single pass that he threw at North Carolina. And I started to really, by the end of it, I really had a better understanding of why Ryan Pace truly liked this guy and why this was his guy. He has all the things and all the makeup that you want in a new and age, like, starting quarterback, like your franchise quarterback. Not a lot of snaps, though. So there's always room for improvement. And I always knew that he was a project and he was going to need some time in the NFL to be able to really start seeing, you know, the abilities of this young man. And I like him. I think now that he has these weapons around him, a lot of different weapons, I think it's going to be easier. And I hate doing this. I hate doing it. I keep going back to the time when I was at the University of Miami and our quarterback, Ken Dorsey. Dorsey didn't have the biggest arm. He was a smart quarterback. He knew what to do. He knew what the defense was going to do. So what he did was he got the ball to his playmakers and he let those guys make plays and he took care of the football. That's what I see with Mitch. Everybody wants to kind of compare him to Mahomes and Watson because of the same draft. I get that. But I never wanted to do that. My thing was I wanted to see him develop into a quarterback. And now that he has an offensive-minded head coach and a lot of guys around him that are going to be able to be there in his ear, I think the sky's the limit for the young man. And even though we didn't see a lot during the preseason because we know how Matt Nagy rolls, I still think we're going to see a more improved Mitchell Trubisky in 2019. And I look to him to be the future, and I'm hoping that's the case, and I'm hoping that he shows that on the football field this year.
Jarrett Payton of WGN-TV in Chicago with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Jarrett, on the other side of the ball, Khalil Mack showed last year, as great as the Bears' defenses have been over the years, and they've had some incredible players, some incredible pass rushers, I don't know that they've ever had a guy like this, though. He's a different animal, isn't he?
I still have a hard time believing that he's on my favorite team. it doesn't make sense. I mean, this man, the way that he conducts his business on a daily basis, and I think that's what's really changed, is that the culture was changing here in Chicago. And then you have him and the way that Mac just comes to work every single day. He's not one of these superstars that's like, oh, I'm going to take a day off here and there. He's always there. He sets the tone. And I think that's the reason why. I have such an issue with, like, national news outlets that I don't see at practice or weren't at training camp because I was there every single day. They're not seeing it. This defense is the real deal, and they are the real deal from top to bottom when you look at every position starting-wise, and now they started to build some depth as well. They can be scary. And is it going to be hard to live up to what they did last season? Yes, it's going to. Are they going to have as many interceptions and takeaways as they had last year? Probably not. That's probably not going to happen. But can they still be a dominant defense? There's no reason why they can. And as long as you have number 52, he creates a matchup problem for every single offense that he goes up against. You have to know where he is. And so for that, that means Leonard Floyd. That means Akeem Hicks. That means Eddie Goldman. These guys are going to be able to get off. Let's not forget about Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. They are going to scare. And Pagano and I are real close. Pagano's my guy. He's a Miami guy. I was with him in Miami talking to Ed Reed and having a conversation the day that he was hired. I said, Ed, give me one word that describes Chuck Pagano. And he said, JP, smart. And I said, that's all I need to know. And what he's going to be able to do with all these different Ferraris that he has on the football field, it scares me because I feel like they're going to blitz a lot more. Tonight, I want to see how they go up against number 12 because when you blitz him, we know when he's under pressure, that's where he makes those big throws. They have to be smart in disguising their blitzes and bringing pressure to be able to get to Aaron Rodgers tonight.
Well, it certainly worked out pretty well that the Raiders don't like players that show up ready to work because got a good one, got a really good one in Khalil Mack. Trend that continues, obviously, today. All right, we talked about some great things with the Bears. Can we talk about the elephant in the room really fast, which is the kicking game, man? There's a lot of pressure on Eddie Pinheiro. There were helicopters around practice. I mean, there are so many things going on here, and you don't want to put the weight of the world on this guy, but it's been an issue. When you look at Pinheiro, when you look at the kicking game, is it overblown or is it a legit concern?
I believe it's a legit concern. And is it blown up? I mean, being in the media here, I'm a part of that problem. I mean, it's what people wanted to talk about ever since the double doink, and people wanted to kind of figure out how this organization was going to fix that position and solidify it. And you know, I talked about Ryan Pace and all the great things that he's done, and I know for him this is not a knock on him, but the one thing on his resume he still has to figure out since Robbie Gould is gone is the kicking position. And so it's an issue, and the Bears went about it the way that they felt comfortable with a lot of competition and trying to find the right guy. Is Pinheiro the right guy? I don't know. I didn't ask that question. I was just leaving Dick's Sporting Goods and someone asking me a question. This old man, he's like, we're in a Mac jersey. We found our kicker? I'm like, sir, I have no clue. Like, we'll find out, you know, as the season goes on. And I think it was evident that Cody Parkey was not the guy as the season went on. I was at that Detroit game, and I never thought I would ever see anything like that again. I hope I never see anything like that ever again. But I know that it's a lot of pressure on this young man, and now he's never kicked in a real NFL game. We'll see, and tonight will be one of those tests. And I was at the last preseason game where he shanked that one to the left, the extra point. He knows the pressure that's on him. He's got to go out there and do his job. He's got to be comfortable, and that's easier said than done at Soldier Field, where the wind is blowing off the wind, not just now, but as the seasons start to change a little bit more. He's got to be dialed in, and he does not want to be the reason why this team doesn't go far or even not get to the playoffs.
How's that statue of Walter looking outside Soldier Field?
Listen, I'm sitting in traffic right now trying to get to the stadium. That's all I want to see right now. I want to go up and see my dad sitting outside the South Gate. It's been surreal. I don't know. It just seems like a dream. Really seems like a dream, and it's fitting to, you know, have this statue up 20 years to his passing and the 100th year celebration of this organization, and also for the NFL. It all happened when it was supposed to happen. He's sitting 12 feet tall right outside next to his mentor, George Halas. And when you just say that, just think of that in your head. The guy that started the game, and then you also have a guy that took the game to new heights, and to both have them standing side by side looking over this Bears organization forever now, for another 100 years. Man, I know he's proud. He's smiling down. And like I said, he put in a lot of work to be great. He sacrificed a lot. And we're still seeing all of that come to life, even though he's been gone 20 years. So truly special. Big thanks to the Chicago Bears and the city of Chicago, the mayor's office, for getting this thing done and really helping our family really keep my dad's legacy alive.
That's the coolest thing about it, is that your dad is immortal, and now clearly with the statue immortalized forever right outside Soldier Field.
Yeah, I got chills as soon as you said that. I know how hard he worked. And I did this special last night here in Chicago called Savoring Sweetness on WGN, and so many people saying the same thing, that, man, it's just to hear his life and to see what he did and what he meant to the city and how he embraced everything the city was about. This kid from Columbia, Mississippi, who never been up north, and then if you ask people, they forget he's from Mississippi and they say he's from Chicago. And to me, you did your job, and you did something great when people just think about you with a city.
Hey, Jarrett, one other quick thing before you go. Your dad obviously was involved in trying to get an expansion team here in St. Louis. And at the Super Bowl in New Orleans 1989, you mentioned he's from Mississippi, he threw a big Cajun barbecue on the bayou. It's still the spiciest food I've ever had. But, man, it was so cool to have Walter Payton on our side and be backing St. Louis for an expansion team.
Okay. I was going to mention that off the top, man, when we were talking. It gave me chills again just thinking about what my life would be like if it'd be a lot different, I think, if my dad got that team in St. Louis. And he was just really close to everybody in St. Louis. And I still remember the letters that he got from people from the city. And they were just like, hey, man, we love you. Thank you for trying. And it wasn't any lack on his part of why it didn't go through. But I know he was super excited to be able to bring football, you know, back to St. Louis, and I was hoping it was going to happen. Hurt my heart, really did hurt my heart. And I'd be running the team right now. I'd be 38.
That's right.
or some part of the organization doing something. And I just remember, I still have his helmet, that purple helmet, the Stallions helmet that he had, and it's in my house, and I think about it when I walk by every single day.
And that's, we know, cool. You would have kept the team in town, too, so that would have been a bonus.
Yeah, I didn't. If I had anything to do with it, you know it's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Hey, Jarrett, have fun tonight as we start the 100th anniversary of the NFL. Keep up the great work at WGN, and thanks for your time. Let's do this again.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thank you for having me.
Take care. That's Jarrett Payton, Walter Payton's son, and, of course, established in his own right as a TV broadcaster in Chicago. And Walter was such a nice guy. And my dad and I went to the Super Bowl, and they were kind enough to invite us to this barbecue. And there must have been 1,000 pounds. You would have hated it, BT, because it was all seafood. It was crawdads and stuff. But Everything there was just so incredibly spiced, and it's Cajun food, so it's supposed to be. But what a time. And Walter, the essence of Walter Payton was that he loved everybody and wanted to be around everybody and touched. He was a big hugger and everything. And we saw it that night, a couple hundred people at this party, and he interacted and had a smile and a story for everybody.
Where was this?
It was just across the bridge from New Orleans, right up into Mississippi.
Awesome.
It was great. Coming up in the fast lane, the Cardinals look to be on their way to winning 3 out of 4 in another series. We've got that. Plus, Antonio Brown causing problems for the Raiders. Next in your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. The bulletin, apparently official, from the Stalter Rivers Twitter page. It's official. Beginning Monday, September 9th, you'll be able to hear Anthony Stalter and Jamie Rivers every weekday from 10 to 2 here on 101 ESPN. After Bernie, before us, 10 to 2. Anthony Stalter and Jamie Rivers, looking forward to it. Should be great starting Monday.
I'll tell you what, those two, anybody that listens to this station knows, Jamie filled in for quite some time through the Blues' epic run. Him and Anthony were fantastic together, and I got a feeling those two might have a tiny bit of fun on the show for 4 hours.
Looking forward to that. Meanwhile, the Cardinals continue to roll, and they remain in first place. John Mozeliak talked to Jim Hayes today on FS Midwest about the Cardinals' recent success.
I do think when you're seeing the way this club's playing right now, it was definitely something that we had hoped to see. Obviously, getting great starting pitching, leading to a strong bullpen, and certainly timely hitting. And I think the depth of the lineup, again, is starting to show its strength, which is timing's great.
The timing is great, and it's all a product of the good work of the Cardinal manager, Mike Schilt.
The best compliment I can give to Schilty and his staff is their preparation. And I think, as they have gone through the year, to your point, he's hit on key points, and he's done it in a very smart way. And so I think from a strategic standpoint, from a process standpoint, he's really hit a home run, so it's great.
And Mozeliak also told Jim Hayes that the defensive improvement of the Cardinals, which has a chance to be historical, they could go from the most errors in baseball to the least errors in baseball in 1 year. That defensive improvement has been impressive.
I certainly think Goldie helped in that manner because, gave everybody a little bit more confidence to throw over there. So I think the strategy, though, that he put in place this offseason, especially from the running game standpoint, has been something that nobody can question. And it's certainly been a success for us.
Pretty darn successful, right?
Yeah.
It's been really good. It's been fun to watch. So Cardinals have been fun to watch. Cardinals also leading right now, 8-0 in the bottom of the eighth inning. We'll break that whole game down at 3:15. But gentlemen, tonight, football.
What?
Football, football, football. You can hear it here on 101 ESPN. Game starts at 7:20. I think we'll have some pregame action starting at 7 o'clock. It's Bears-Packers tonight. For those that are interested in a little bit more than just kickoff of the NFL season, the Bears are 3.5-point favorites, currently three, depending on where you find them at different sports books. So many different storylines that go into a game like this. It's Mitchell Trubisky against Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has not played a snap yet so far this year, and he's got a new coach in Matt LaFleur. I think that's going to be an interesting thing. We just got done talking to Jarrett Payton, Sweetness' son, about Eddie Pinheiro. That's going to be a little bit of I'm going to be watching every time they kick the football.
Don't.
Yeah, because I'm interested with stuff like that, so I think that's going to be great. Also, he talked about the fact that there is a new DC over there. Vic Fangio's gone. He's with the Bears. I feel like there's so much intrigue going into this game. I'm psyched because it's the first game of the season, but I love the fact that these are two teams that should be playoff teams.
Well, you would think so, and I am with you on, well, there are two things that I'm concerned about with this team. Number one is the kicking situation, which I think any Bears fan would be. And the other thing is I still don't know what Mitch Trubisky is. And maybe it's going to be a couple of years before we really find out. But he does appear to be a work in progress. But they should win that game tonight. Speaking of football around the league, how about Antonio Brown? Man, it's all good news. He's going to start the season with the Raiders, and he's going to have a great year, and there are no problems at all in the locker room whatsoever. Oh, wait, actually there are. The general manager, Mike Mayock, and Brown got into an altercation. There was no fisticuffs, but there was a threat of violence from Antonio Brown. So there is a very good possibility the Raiders are about to suspend Antonio Brown after that dust-up.
All of that stemming from him getting fined for missing training camp and missing a bunch of mandatory stuff. AB threw out the Instagram post about it. I guess Mayock confronted him about that, and all hell broke loose. Hey, is this what it's like being a fan of a team that's not so good?
Yes.
Because I'm like newfound Raider fan. Really, the roots are going to take when they hit Vegas, but I follow the team a little bit closer than maybe I follow other teams, and it's been nothing but sadness and disappointment thus far, and we haven't even seen them kick a ball yet.
You know, I wonder how many people are truly, and I'm talking about Raiders fans, are really upset about this. Because if you're still in Oakland, are you thinking, oh, what the hell, they're leaving us anyway, I don't care, this mess is happening. And if you're in Las Vegas, are you like, well, I don't really know this team that well anyway, they're not ours yet.
It's gonna be football.
So, like, nobody's mad, I bet, right?
I don't know, man. Well, I would think that if you're one of the true, like, real deal Raiders fans, that you'd like to see the best product you could possibly see. Like, you had to have been pumped up about Antonio Brown coming your way, and then all of a sudden, here we are, it's the beginning of the season, he's facing a possible suspension. You realize that Antonio Brown is probably not the difference between you being a playoff team this year or not, but he certainly is the difference between being an entertaining football team and not. I'd be pissed.
But yes, if you were a Raiders fan for like the last 20, 30, 40 years of your life, this would be one of those I need to throw my hat across the room situations because I'm so fed up with this stuff.
This is par for the course with the Raiders.
Kind of is.
How they roll. Hey, we want your fantasy football questions for Kyle Elfrink later on. He's going to join us at 3:45, so get your mic drops in with the 101 ESPN app, and you can send your texts in later for Kyle. And we have more U.S. Men's National Team tickets against Uruguay to give away. The game is next Tuesday at Busch. All you have to do is text the word GAME, G-A-M-E. Text the word GAME to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. The contest runs through 4 o'clock, and a random texter will be selected and notified during the show. So if you want tickets for the USA and Uruguay next week on the 10th, just text GAME to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Those are your hot topics of the day here on 101 ESPN. And coming up, we've got a game of over under. That's next on 101 ESPN.